Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List, episode 52. Woo! I am Fumi Simano, joined by my co-host, Mark J. Parker.
That's right, three names.
And Tom Chuba.
You know what? I might just want to go by Thomas J. Chuba. How about that, Mark?
Oh, let's not try rebranding ourselves. Let's
yeah, keep our brands. I mean, come on now. You stay with your business and I'll stay with mine. What's
Holler,
your J
guys.
For, Tom? What's
Joseph.
Your J stand for? Oh, me too. Wow, I don't think I knew that.
I don't think I knew that either.
Oh.
You guys have the same middle name. Oh my God.
That's kind of cute.
Wow. Fumi, is your middle name Joseph too?
My middle name is Lola.
Yes, I
close.
Knew that.
Not even close, Mark. Not at all.
Lola, Joseph, you know, it's got a ring to it. That could be our spin-off, like, podcast name. The Lola and the Josephs.
Lola and the Joseph Show. I kind of like that, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's cute.
Well, listeners, thank you for joining us for another episode. We are trekking along in 2019. You see what I'm doing there? I almost said 2010, but I'm gonna get it. We're gonna do 2019.
Yes.
This week, we are breaking down our lists and also giving you what we're looking forward to most in 2019. But before we do that, we're going to get into some housekeeping and some headlines because shit has gone down since just last week.
I know. Yeah. Oh, and I like that, Foom. I like the housekeeping and headlines. I like that.
Nice.
Oh, that's cute.
Thank you. Thank you.
H&H.
So we'll get into housekeeping. We have talked about Green Book on this podcast before. We've all seen it at this point, right?
I have not finished it. I started it. I like it. I just had other things to do. It's no shade to Green Book, I swear.
Oh, damn. Okay.
No, for real. Well,
yeah, but I like it so far. But I know you guys have seen it all and you enjoy it.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm not going to front. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's been making the the award circuit. Yeah. Mahershala Ali, in my opinion, I guess he's going to go like straight to the Oscar at this point,
he's
right?
I don't know, but he looked real uncomfortable last night at the Critics' Choice. I mean, we'll talk about Critics' Choice in a few minutes, but he looked really uncomfortable up there on that stage.
Wait, hold your thought. We're going to get into it. But we wanted to just quickly chat and do a follow-up because when we talked about Green Book before, we mentioned the controversy. The family behind Dr. Shirley is not really into the movie. They say that it misrepresents who he was as a person and his relationship with his family. And since they won the Globe, we've got, like, I mean, at this point, just throw the movie away. I don't even know what else to say.
I know.
We're getting some twists and turns.
Right? We have the screenwriter who had to apologize because apparently he's one of the Farley brothers. He likes to show his dick to cast and crew on sets.
Yeah. Apparently Cameron Diaz was like,
he's the director.
I saw his
dick. The director, not the screenwriter.
Oh, the
director.
Peter Farrelly.
Yes,
yes,
the director. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. The screenwriter's getting in his own trouble.
Tell him. What did the screenwriter do?
Oh, man. Well, leave it to the Italians. Nick, I believe his name is Nick Vallelonga. I know his last name is Vallelonga. I'm pretty sure his first name is Nick.
Aren't you related? You're basically...
we're like second cousins. But basically, he... back when Donald Trump was doing his whole Muslims were cheering in the streets of Jersey City on 9/11 thing. And by the way, I could tell you I went to school in Jersey City. They did not. But that's neither here nor there. Vallelonga tweeted, that's right, Donald Trump. They were definitely cheering on 9/11. And
sure
they are years old tweets and he never deleted them. And somebody went and dug it up and old boy is in trouble.
Well, he went and deleted the tweets and then he went and deleted his Twitter.
Wow, did he?
He did. Yeah.
That right there, do you feel like for someone to go back and just delete their Twitter, is that
he was obviously
that
he was obviously trying to hide whatever other thoughts he had that people didn't get a chance to screenshot. He was eliminating the opportunity for people to do that.
Come on now. I mean, I'm not really surprised by him.
I'm not.
Based on
really not.
What I saw at the Globes and everything. But I mean, come on. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway. But yeah, it's also interesting about Peter Farrelly because he is so, I feel like, beloved and has had a career. He's done all sorts of mostly big comedies. I feel like this was sort of a new direction for him.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, how he totally has admitted and is embarrassed that he would apparently just show his package to his actors just to make them laugh. And Cameron Diaz was quoted saying, not recently, this was, I guess, was in the past. I don't think she's talked about it lately, that like, oh yeah, like, you know, you're working with a genius when you go in there to meet them at the audition, he just shows you his dick and like she laughed. And I wanted to be like, Cameron, do you need to, are you stuck? Are you in trouble? Do you need to blink twice?
Maybe that's why she's retired.
I know, right? She's like married. She's like, thank God, get me out of this industry. The fuck? Right?
I'm sick of seeing balls. But yeah, that's weird. I mean, luckily he's totally apologetic, but do you think, I mean, this is definitely not great for the movie. However, do you think any of this will actually truly affect it?
I don't, because I don't think there's a lot of options to fill its place, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
If you punish the film and you don't give Farrelly well, I'm sure there's plenty of directors who could take spot. But if you punish Viggo and Mahershala, I don't know who really takes
their
spot.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get punished.
I don't think they're getting punished either.
Yeah. I think, but wow, crazy.
At this point, it's really just Mahershala, because, I mean, Viggo's getting nominated, but he's not getting any love, right?
Yeah.
Not really. Although he is great in everything he does, but this year, not so much.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to our news. I actually think this is a good segue for your news, Mark, so why don't tell everybody what your
I agree.
News is.
So, speaking of balls and weird behavior, so John Lasseter, who we know last year was kicked out of Disney for doing some, inappropriate behavior, kissing and touching female employees without their consent. Mm-hmm. And so apparently I thought he was fired, but I guess Disney actually gave him like a leave. But he just left on his own accord,
those golden,
I guess,
parachutes.
After that.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? But so, big news, very interesting. This might be a general, like, overstatement. I could be wrong, but this is at least one of, if not the, biggest rehire in the Me Too era, I feel like. Because he just got a new job at Skydance, working in their animation. And so that, rightfully so, kind of alerted a lot of people out there, like, whoa, 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 he's already getting this nice new gig. But he had, a little town hall at Skydance at his new place of employment and met with, all the employees there. I guess it was about 65 employees. Mm. And they grilled him. They asked him lots of questions. I guess a lot of younger female employees really, asked if he fully admits, he made bad mistakes and all that. And apparently he was very apologetic. So I guess this just brings up the question, when is the right time for, these men in power that did some, bad things, when is a good time for them to be rehired?
Never.
Interesting.
Never?
I mean, I don't know. It depends on the crime, right? But would you say Harvey Weinstein ever deserves to get a new position?
Well, no. But I also don't know how severe Lasseter's issues were at Pixar and Disney. Was he just groping?
It was a lot of hugs. According to Deadline, it was a lot
hugs.
Of quote-unquote inappropriate hugs and unsolicited kissing and groping.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he was placed on sabbatical in November of 2017 guess it was a while ago. Yeah,
it was a while. Mm-hmm. He was on sabbatical. Disney probably, unfortunately, couldn't fire him, really. And he's brain.
It's hard to fire people.
He's the brain of Pixar, isn't he?
I mean,
he's basically the brain of animation, the way that our modern day animation.
Totally. He was there for decades and created major, major movies. So I understand why Skydance, which I didn't know, I don't think I've seen a Skydance animated movie.
I didn't know that they did that either.
Maybe this is a new thing for them. It makes sense that they would want to go for someone like that. And apparently they were very vocal with meeting with Time's Up and figuring out the best way to bring him on again and stuff like that. So, I feel like Skydance is doing their part to, like, make sure it's legit. However, it's like, I'm sure there are other good animators out there. I don't know. This feels weird.
Also, it's like, I'm sure her homeboy had a lot of money. Did he really need another job? Like, when you get in trouble like that, well, and you're rich like that, lay low for the rest of your life.
I don't think that the money is the situation for him. I think creatively he just wants to create. I think that he has a lot of ideas that he really
create
wants
your own
to,
production
like,
company
see
then.
Done. I probably would have liked to have seen them like lay low for a little longer than like 2 months. I mean, really?
It is funny because he this all happened over a year ago, but I feel like that year was a fast one.
Yeah.
And I to already see like in headlines Lasseter gets new job, it's like, whoa, what? And it's not like he's kind of just producing something. Like he's, I assume from all this info, he's like heading up a whole division of a company that it's like,
but a big guy.
You know
a
what?
Big boss.
Everyone's watching. So sure, welcome to the team. And you even look at anyone weird, you're gonna be under major fire. At least I hope so.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. So before we get into Critics' Choice recap, I just quickly wanted to say two things. One, they announced the cast for Ratched, Ryan Murphy's new show on Netflix.
Oh.
Did you guys see who's going to be in it?
No, please
tell me.
Ooh, we have got Judy Davis, who we know from Feud, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
Cynthia Nixon, which I feel like we haven't seen since her.
Wow, since Sex and the City.
But like also oddly wanting to run for governor of New York.
Which sadly didn't work out for her, but I think I voted for her. So I mean,
did you?
I like her. Yeah, I think I did. I like her. I mean, I thought she was... I can't remember. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember. But either way,
yeah,
I was like,
right.
Okay, go
good
girl.
Yeah. So she's going to be in it. Hunter Parrish, Amanda Plummer, who was in Pulp Fiction, and Sharon Stone.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Sharon
Ryan
Stone.
Be resurrecting people's careers,
right?
Man.
Yes. Right?
Obviously, oh, yeah. I'm all for
Paulson
Sharon Stone
star
coming back.
Ratchet, but, yeah.
How is this bitch sleeping?
I know.
She'd just be working, you know?
She's like, but you know what? She's smart. Because Sarah Paulson, I feel like, was around for years, but always in these small, supporting
character
parts.
Yeah.
And she's smart. She's like, I am totally in demand. Like, work
She's like,
your
let me just do
off.
It while they want me.
And
yeah.
produce, work, you know?
Totally. Work your ass off, and then maybe in 10 years, then be like, okay, wow, what a life. I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, totally. And then the other piece of news that I had was the Fyre Festival. Hulu did a sneak attack on Netflix and released their own version of this Fyre Festival documentary.
Oh, wow.
Netflix is releasing theirs on Friday, I think. The 18th, whatever that date is. I think that's their date of release. And so Hulu announced that they were also doing their own documentary, but they were like, guess what, bitch? We're going to drop ours Monday.
Oh, my gosh, Jade.
So, if anybody gets a chance, I think that you totally should check it out and compare the two. We all should probably do that too.
Oh my gosh, that would be so fun.
About both versions.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Because we all remember what the Fyre Festival was, right? It was this like fucking crazy like festival that was supposed to shut down all other festivals in the Bahamas.
Right.
This 25-year-old guy put it on. Turned out the whole thing was a fraud from top to bottom.
Biggest like con, I feel like, because didn't people paid for it? Like they paid right for tickets for places to stay, like major money.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the guy's in prison now. He's serving like a sentence for like wires and security fraud. So check out these documentaries. I'm sure if anything, they're gonna give you at least a chuckle and a laugh.
A good laugh. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. Wow, Hulu. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the Critics' Choice Awards. They aired. We have some really good winners. Tom, what did you think about them?
Yeah, it was. We saw some of the same stuff from the Globes. I mean, the Americans, they just really quickly, they took Best Actor in a Drama. They took Best Drama. They took Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. Marvelous Maisel, she came and did her thing again. Rachel Brosnahan won Best Actress in a Comedy. The Show won Best Comedy. Jeff was commenting about how he can't stand Amy Sherman-Palladino, and I was like, yeah, she kind of is annoying.
She's kind of wacky, yeah.
Yeah, she is super wacky. The show also got Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy. Christian Bale won twice. He won Best Actor in a Comedy, and then Best Actor in a Movie overall for his role as the wonderful Dick Cheney in Vice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's like really gaining
steam.
Momentum.
I gotta see this movie. I gotta see it.
It's
you guys
good.
Gonna like it.
I you know, it's good. I didn't hate it. I liked it better than The Big Short. I feel like, did we talk about this before? Every
we
I know
did,
Tom
yeah.
liked The Big Short, but same director. But, you know, it's good. He is good. I just, it's just interesting because this movie kind of came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't talked about for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Alfonso Cuarón won again
Let's
for
talk.
Best Director. So I think
yeah, guys.
Right about
what
him
did I
maybe
say?
Winning Best Director for the
what
Oscar.
What did I say? He walked away with four. Didn't
yes.
he
well,
movie?
He won Best Director. Roma won Best Picture.
Mm-hmm. And Cinematography.
And I think Best Foreign Language.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
It cleaned up.
It
so,
cleaned
Foom,
up.
I'm sorry for your loss, Foom. Roma's really taken over the town.
Yeah.
I have a flight to Arizona this weekend, and I'm thinking, damn, I may need to download this onto my iPad and watch it in the flight because
well,
I need to
I
see why it's winning.
You definitely should check it out.
Yeah. Why are you not? Why are you like not sure if you're gonna?
Just haven't had time. Just
oh, okay.
Haven't had time.
Okay. It's not like but, you. Don't want to see it.
Oh,
no.
I would be, I would definitely be open to it. But let's talk about the two big surprises, guys. Two ties for the night.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, best supporting actress in TV, both Amy Adams and Patricia Clarkson tied.
Right.
And I think that is Mark and I think the universe was like, I need to do something for Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba because they love each love.
Oh, yeah.
Tom loves Amy, Mark loves Patricia. They don't know who
and
they
I love
want
Amy.
To win.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe kind of, you know, made things go our way.
Totally. Great actresses, for sure. Great shows,
yeah,
great actresses, yeah.
And they handled it really well. Amy Adams had her arm around Patricia the whole time.
Oh, I love
That's
that.
Great.
They
I
were going
that.
Back and forth with their banter. It was cute. And then the big one, another tie for Best Actress in a Motion Picture. The first one announced was Glenn Close, which I think nobody was really surprised at. And then, of course, Lady Gaga with
which
her bed
so
sheet as
about.
A dress. Yes. But
Did
she literally
like
looked like
dress?
She was wearing a bed sheet. No, she looked like she
it.
Was wearing a bed sheet.
I saw.
I didn't see the show because I don't get CW, and the CW doesn't stream it on the app, which is weird. But I saw clips and like a picture, and it was a little odd. I know. I see what you're saying with the bed sheet, Tom. But I thought she looked good.
Yeah, she did.
And how did they announce it? Do they really say like the winner is Glenn Close, and then she comes up and speaks, and then are they like, and it's also Lady Gaga, or how does
so,
it work?
So I forget who announced the Patricia Clarkson. I'm sorry, the Patricia Arquette and Amy Adams one, but basically Amy Adams was announced first, and she was like, wait, let me know who else won. I want her up here with me, and then they were like Patricia Arquette. Willem Dafoe
wait,
announced
what?
Best Actress.
I don't get it.
What?
I didn't watch it. I don't get it. You mean, how did she know someone else won?
Because
they
the announcer
like,
was like, it's a tie. He's
oh,
like, we have two winners.
Oh,
and he was like,
it.
The first one is Amy Adams. Amy Adams came up to the mic and she was like, announce the other one. I want her up here with
gotcha.
Me.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
And the person was like, oh, it's Patricia Arquette. It's the second one. Willem Dafoe was doing the Best Actress in a Motion Picture Award announcement. Mm-hmm. And he announced Glenn Close first. She came up, gave a full speech, and said, I can't wait to see who has won with me. And then he walked back to the microphone and said, and the second winner is Lady Gaga. And she was like, she broke down crying. Did you know that her horse was dying, though, last night?
I did hear that, yeah. She had she like basically left the show as soon as she won to go like say goodbye to her horse or something.
Yeah, yeah. So sad.
That's sad.
Anyway, that's the critic's choice.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that evens the playing field for Oscar talk? Like, is she now back in the running?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so, Tom? It's all Glenn Close?
Just because Glenn has never won before.
You never know. The SAG Awards are coming up, and, I mean, Lady Gaga is a performer. And even though Glenn Close has been around for years and is worthy, I don't know. I really wonder how the SAGs will sort of just throw more wrenches in there because just the nominees are kind of weird. And sometimes they pick people that aren't always like the same people. And then they make up a big component of the Academy as well. A
sure,
lot of SAG
sure.
members are in the Academy. So I don't know. It'll be interesting,
Have
but
you guys
I'm
seen
all
the
for
wife
a
yet?
Tie. What'd you say?
Have you guys seen The Wife yet?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Tom has. Tom saw it. Did you see it, Tom, like in theaters in the summer?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
you saw it a while.
Summer.
I haven't seen it yet, but that's next on my list.
I don't know, y'all. I think Glenn did an amazing job. Just amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
totally.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Is it time for our list?
Let's get into our list.
Okay.
Tom, why don't you go first? Take it away.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first thing on my list is the movie On the Basis of Sex, which is essentially, I don't want to say it's a biopic of Ruth Bader Ginsburg because it doesn't chronicle her whole life, but it tackles a very significant period in her life when she first becomes an attorney and she struggles, you know, with a world that frankly isn't ready for women to enter the workforce in that kind of a role. So it stars Felicity Jones as Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Armie Hammer as her husband, Marty. And, you know, guys, I got to say, I've been thinking about this all day. I'm going to say it's an add this to your list, but it is certainly not a rush.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it an add this to your list, dot, 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 or like what we've had before?
Yeah, when you get to it. Yep, exactly. Okay. Add this to your list, dot, 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 when you get to it. It's a good movie. It's fine at the end of the day. There's nothing compelling about it. I feel like the writers played it a little bit safe because they were trying to probably cater to all kinds of people and all kinds of demographics. So they didn't want to alienate people too much from a political standpoint because RBG is somebody who people kind of on both sides of the aisle really do respect. So I feel like the writers were trying very carefully to uphold that. Felicity Jones gives a really good performance, but you know what? Maybe it's because I don't know enough about Ruth Bader Ginsburg or because I only know her as this really old rock star of a lady that she is right now. But I had a really hard time seeing Felicity Jones playing Ruth versus just a feminist, some feminist lawyer from the 1960s and
70s. I got it.
So she's very good, but I didn't necessarily make the connection that she was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You see what I mean with that?
Yep.
Interesting.
Some of the misogynistic
stuff. She failed at her job. No, kidding.
Well. No.
Oh my God. Shade.
I actually think Felicity Jones is a fantastic actress. So I was happy to see her in the role. She's very likable. She's got really powerful eyes. She draws you right in with her eyes. Some of the misogynistic stuff felt a little too manufactured. Like at one point, Sam Waterston plays the dean of Harvard Law School, and he has the incoming class over at his place for dinner with his wife, and he goes around and he stands up and he says, you know, this is only the third year that we've allowed women into Harvard Law. So I'd like all the women to stand up. Please introduce yourself and tell us why you are here taking the place of a man. And I'm like, that's a little too much. Yeah.
Little heavy. Little too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, really? I really doubt that happened.
Heavy-handed.
So, that's on the basis of sex. I mean, it chronicles her big case, which is when she wanted to basically say she wanted to take on the system and say that, women should not be discriminated against and that they should be held to the very same standards as men are. So that part of the movie is very interesting. To see the research pile up was pretty cool. But overall, like I said, it just leaves you kind of feeling meh.
Okay. Mm.
Okay, so there's no surprise to you that it's not really getting any awards love at all.
No, I totally get why. I mean, in the beginning, when I had first heard that she was going to play Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and given how popular of a figure RBG is right now, I was like, oh, this has Oscar written all over it. But I just think that the film plays it way too safe to catch any kind of awards attention.
Gotcha. Okay.
Second thing on my list.
Oh my God, I'm nervous to hear this. I'm very excited. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm excited to hear what you
Second
think.
Thing on my list is Suspiria, woo! Which is the reimagining by Luca Guadagnino, who we know from Call Me By Your Name fame. Have you guys ever seen the original Suspiria?
No.
Uh-huh.
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's great. Mark, what are your thoughts?
I mean, the original, I had only seen it just recently, our first Halloween episode, I talked about it, and I had watched it for its, 40th anniversary, so I was super late to the Suspiria game. It's wacky and, you know, weird and wild, and I was into it, but it's kind of, I know a lot of people say it's a style over substance. Did you see the original, Tom?
I have seen the original once, and I thought it was a beautiful film, but I thought it was strange as hell.
Oh, yeah, super strange, wacky, but this, I assume, is also super strange and also wacky, but in a different way?
So, exactly. I'm going to say the same thing about the reimagining as I do about the original. It is a beautiful film, visually. Mm. However, I don't know what the fuck it's trying to say. So, I was super intrigued for... The film is 2.5 hours long. Mm-hmm. It stars... Let me just give a quick synopsis.
2.5 hours long?
2.5 hours. 2 hours and 32 minutes. Yep. So, it stars Dakota Johnson and Tilda Swinton, and basically Dakota Johnson plays an Amish girl from Ohio who moves to Berlin in the late 1970s and wants to become a student at this dance academy. And you learn very, very soon into the movie that this dance academy is essentially a coven of witches. So I was super intrigued for the first 2 hours. It caught my attention. Okay. You know, the dance sequences
just thinking,
were
2 hours for the first 2 hours. It was good.
For the first 2 hours.
So basically, the
dance
movie
sequences.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The dance sequences are really beautiful. Dakota Johnson she's really captivating in her role. Tilda Swinton, as always, is great, and she's playing two roles. She's playing not only the instructor at the dance academy, but she's also playing an 80-year-old doctor, psychiatrist,
yes.
who is
wearing
kind
those
of,
fake balls.
Yes, wearing the prosthetic penis. Yeah. This doctor is essentially on the case of the coven, and he's trying to figure out what the heck is going on there. But yeah, so about 2 hours in, the movie just goes fucking off the rails. To the point where my eyebrows were raising in all different directions, my mouth was dropping in all different directions, and not in a good way. I was like, what the fuck? And they never explain it.
Oh,
and
God, no.
By the end of the film, I was just like, okay.
That wow. is literally...
Wasn't sure what it's supposed to say, don't know what it means, don't
and
know.
And Tom, yeah, was just... that, it sounds like that ending is different than the original's ending? In a way. Okay.
This film is very different from the original. I wouldn't say it's a remake per se. It truly is a reimagining.
This sounds like it hits on all of my pet peeves. It's too long, and it has a portion, and it doesn't explain its ending. Like, I don't even know if I should see this movie.
No, I wouldn't. I'm gonna say that it is. I'm gonna say that it's a. Okay to miss. I'm not going to say it's a skip this shit because there are some very redeeming qualities about
it's
it.
It's not even a one and done.
Very talented.
Did you just talk yourself into saying it's an okay to miss? I thought you said it was an add this to your list, but no.
No. I did not say it was an add this to your list. I said second thing on my list. I did not say it was an add this to your list.
I thought you were going to say that.
Is it not even a one and done?
No. I can't.
Whoa.
Mark, you have to watch and tell me what you think.
Oh my gosh,
I'm
going to report back our next episode. I'm going to report back with my thoughts because this is so interesting. So Tom, even though it sounds like parts of it you did like, well, 2 hours you were okay with.
Yeah, I was fine with 2 hours of it.
Really that bad?
Wow.
It was just like gratuitous gore, blood everywhere for no reason. It was like, wait, how did this one suddenly realize that she's a witch and I don't want to give anything away. And it's like, wait, why are all these people dying? And then at the ending, it was just like, huh? Yeah.
How would you say, Tom, it compares to the other wacky horror film of the year, Hereditary? Was that a little more...
Hereditary is by far a better film.
Wow, and Fumi hated that, so... this is hysteria.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that is Suspiria, and it is an okay to miss.
Okay.
I got one more. I got a half of an item on my list left. So I only usually do two, but I got one that'll be very quickly. Third thing on my list, guys, is a podcast that I have become obsessed with called Fry Gay the 13th. Yes, you've heard that correctly. It's not Friday. It's Fry Gay. Frigay. So essentially, it's these two guys, Maddie and Andrew. They live in Chicago. They are very good friends. And each episode is divided into two halves. The first half, they cover horror in real life. And so what that often means is that they're talking something politics. Like the first episode, they were talking about Mike Pence and the Olympics and how Adam Rippon and Gus Kenworthy were throwing shade to him. Mm-hmm. They do a whole episode on college rape cover-ups, especially Notre Dame.
Oh, I love
they
this
do
concept.
A whole episode.
Wow.
They do a whole episode on the trans bathroom bill laws in North Carolina. And then the second half of their show, they do horror in media. And what that means is that they do a review of two or three movies that they've watched in the past week that are all horror. So super funny, super informative. They actually remind me a lot of us three, the way that they banter and the relationship they have with each other and their comfort levels. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of like a twin sister to add this to your list. But yeah, they...
hey, sis!
They rate their movies. This part I absolutely love. They rate the horror movies on a rainbow scale.
Uh-huh.
So there are seven colors of the rainbow, right? Roy G. Biv. And so each movie is graded from a 1 to 7.
Love it.
Right? Isn't that super
cute? Very cool. I love it.
Their episodes are a bit long. They are 2 hours. However, they only release one episode per month.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And they do little mini-sodes sprinkled in throughout the month that are like 15 to 20 minutes long.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So definitely add them to your list. I think they're great. They're moving and shaking on Twitter. I don't know what they're up to on Instagram or Facebook, but they definitely got quite a following, and it's well deserved. Friday the 13th. Add it to your list. Yeah,
that's awesome. Let's work with them at some point. Hey, boys.
Right?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, Mark. I'm actually so excited for your list.
Oh my God,
take
me
it
too.
Away. Let's get
oh my gosh,
into
guys.
It.
Oh, thank you for this. So I have two items on my list that are must-adds. They're both TV, and they are both reality TV. Reality, docu, you know, within the reality genre. But the new year has given me good TV.
Right.
And the first one, I'm going to start with the serious one, probably the more important of them both, that everyone should really see. Surviving R. Kelly.
Yeah.
It's have you guys been able to watch this at all?
No.
Oh, did you, Fumo?
Really?
Okay, I'm not done yet. Maybe it's 6 hours total, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I think I'm on the last two.
Okay.
I still need to see. But wow, guys. So this, I'm sure by now everyone has at least heard about it. It really took over social media. It's on Lifetime.
Sure did.
Bravo Lifetime for doing this because it's great. And they've assembled a whole bunch of people. So it originally, I think, aired over 3 nights right when the new year started. And so I'm watching on the Lifetime app. So if you have the app at home, or I'm sure it's all on demand, you can watch each of the 1 hour episodes, and there's 6 total. But they have assembled all sorts of people, many of them famous. We have Wendy Williams, we have John Legend, and many of them are real people that R. Kelly took advantage of,
mm-hmm.
his wife,
mm-hmm.
Plenty of fans,
yeah.
Many girls that he, you know, basically, it's everything you heard, and it's all true. Everything from that infamous pee video to this kind of cult-like world where he would just bring these teenage girls to his house. Somehow, they were fine to be there for days. I don't know what their parents were thinking. But these young, young girls, it's all about his obsession with like 14-year-old girls.
But you know what I found interesting about the whole thing though, Mark, is that after the whole I never saw that video with the young girl and the pee.
Yeah.
Like I've never ever seen it. But obviously we knew when that video came out, she was like 13 or 14 years old. She was super super young. It was like literally absurd and scary and insane. So I guess from that he kind of got a little clever with it and got girls on the cusp of like legally being able to consent. But still being young enough where you kind of have to look at a man who's in his 30s and being like, what do you find attractive about a 17-year-old? Like,
oh
what is
God,
going
totally.
On here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the weirdest thing about it, guys, that this... Because I'll be honest, I've never really loved R. Kelly. I've never really liked
me
any
neither.
Of his music.
Me either.
I thought... I remember, like, as a kid when I Believe I Can Fly came out, I thought that was the cheesiest fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I never was into any of him. So... I remember hearing these rumors, but also because I was not really ever invested in him, I didn't really, not that I didn't care, but it was like, oh, whoa, weird. But what's so fascinating about the show, guys, is that it shows how he got away with it for years and years and years. I mean, he married Aaliyah when she was like 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows, like, once this pee tape came out, what he would do, and they interview a lot of Fumino's, they interviewed a lot of also people in the music industry, mm-hmm. different critics and different, you know, execs and stuff. And they all say, like, he would mask what he was doing with being sexual and also goofy in his videos. Yeah. So the more he actually kind of did this lighthearted sex stuff, the more it was okay for him to be that kind of person, and he could do it behind closed doors yeah. with these young girls
yeah.
in his studio. Like, you know, you hear, like, there are bedrooms in his studio, and, like, different girls coming in and out, and his wife, he, like, basically locked her away and would just have her, I think he had her move to Florida randomly without even her consent. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to watch. It sounds like it would be. And things get graphic in, mm-hmm. in detail. I mean, a grown woman saying, like, yeah, I had to have sex with R. Kelly and a 14-year-old mm-hmm. girl. And there's a lot of tears. And it's really impressive. I have to just say, it's so impressive. And what's just so crazy is that he got away with it for so long.
He sure did. But like, let's not literally got away with it. People watched that tape. He was on trial. And he was found not guilty. Like,
It's a crazy thing that, like, he got away with it, and the more he got away with it, the more people loved him.
The thing about it, which is insane, is that he, like you said, he masked a lot of his actions in the music that he did. And I don't know if you've noticed or you've caught the articles about the sales of his song surging. Mm. And it's because people are, like, listening to the lyrics again, they're saying, going back mm-hmm. listening to songs and being like, well, what is he saying, actually? Like,
totally.
What is he talking about?
Totally.
This is gross, though.
It's
gross. Totally. And I'm sure that
he put a lot of the stuff he was doing to these girls in the songs he was singing. It was disturbing.
Totally. Yeah. So I definitely recommend it. Please watch it. It's crazy. And I'm just glad that luckily there are survivors that are, of course, dealing with it, but at least this show has given them an outlet to talk about it. It's just crazy. Like, and luckily this is opening up, you know, cases, and apparently he's, like, having panic attacks 'cause he knows he's about to be, like, you know, finally arrested, mm-hmm. even though he's already been arrested. That's the crazy thing. When he was on trial for child pornography, he's meeting teen girls.
Yeah,
that was the crazy thing.
I know.
These teen girls are on camera saying, like, no, we love him, we love it. Like, I don't know. Everyone was drinking the Kool-Aid.
Did you get to the part where he picked up the girl at one of the trials? Like, she was waiting for him outside. Like, she'd have signs.
I just watched that episode.
Crazy.
Uh-huh. And, like,
you guys were interested to watch this all the way through? Like, I'm so turned off by it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I honestly feel like I owe it to them to watch it all the way through.
Yeah.
Like, and I just need to know more about how he got away with it. And, you know, I don't want to give anything away in case anyone doesn't know all the details, because I didn't know every single detail. But, like, one young girl did not testify against him,
mm-hmm.
even though it's definitely her on the tape.
That's such a sad story.
And it's so sad, and it's like he had a ton of money, and I guess a lot of people just through the years were paid off, and it really goes to show people, I guess, will do
whatever
things for money.
Is anybody
also
watching the show or no?
Oh yeah, it was the highest rated. I don't have the, like, numbers in front of me, but it was, like, highest rated programming on Lifetime in, like, 10 years or something.
Oh,
which
my
is amazing.
God.
Also, I didn't even know about it. I feel like I totally missed the boat on the publicity for it. I didn't really hear much about it until...
Oh, you mean the actual documentary?
The actual documentary.
Yeah, I know, right? Lifetime just, like, dropped it.
It came out of nowhere.
I can't wait for you to finish, because I have something to say about the last episode, but I'm not going to say it until you watch.
All right. Yeah, let's discuss, because I know it's, like, ramping up, and I just met, like, the one girl's mom, and we're going to see more of her. But, yeah, Surviving R. Kelly on Lifetime, Bravo Lifetime. Hopefully they do more shows like this with other people or something.
You're totally
good for them.
I mean, just one last thing. You're completely right. And, like, this has led to people saying mute R. Kelly. Hopefully, like, Lady Gaga led for her to take out Do What You Want with him.
Right. Which I do have to say, I'm like one of her biggest fans, but I do think it was a very weird choice. And I remember when that album came out, and that song, unfortunately, is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, do you guys remember when she was performing with him on different shows,
weird.
Like SNL?
It was so crazy sexual
that
mm-hmm.
I felt uncomfortable for her. And so, yeah, now she's, you know, totally saying, I regret doing that, and I was in a weird place and all that. So, yeah. Oof.
It's led to some, hopefully it'll lead to some positive things and ultimately his arrest.
Totally. Totally. So. And one last thing about it. I think it also it doesn't say, there's no message saying this, but it's my own personal message. A lot of people in Chicago, like, I feel like there's something going on with, like, child molestation. Because he was molested as a kid. A lot of the girls, or I shouldn't say a lot, but some of the girls that he himself molests, like, came from a house of child molestation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what the fuck? Like, there's a lot of that going on, and this show shines a light on that. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really powerful. Anyway,
very powerful. So, yeah, so sorry for my long rant. Definitely watch that. It's, you have to. And then after you watch that, then you should turn on something light and frothy to kind of cleanse your palate, and that is The Masked Singer on Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so much fun.
So this is a fad, though, right, guys? You don't see this lasting more than a season.
No, this is gonna be on for seasons. I am totally with Mark. I don't know what this show is. It is like crack. Literally, it is so much fun. And you guys know how impatient I am. Like, literally, you know how impatient I am. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, take off this fucking mask. Who are you? God. I need to know
it's
now.
So good. Oh my God. And Foom, do you know who loves it? Is Solana.
Yes, she does. She posts about it a lot.
Our friend Solana. Hey, Solana. I don't know if you're listening, but you should be. She, every day, she's like, okay, I think the rabbit is this. I think the da-da-da. But, guys, it is so much fun. Tom, I knew you were going to be a little shady. You and Jeff need to watch it ASAP.
Is one of them Carrie Underwood?
I think the lion is Carrie Underwood, and I've been saying that from the moment I even
I've been seeing that trend on Facebook.
This damn show. I saw the lion singing, and I was like, how the fuck did they get Carrie Underwood on this show? I am telling you.
Wow.
The lion is Carrie Underwood.
Well, it's
Underwood. Fox. I'm telling
you. She owes her career to that.
Wow. Oh, and the Raven?
I didn't even think of Carrie Underwood. The Raven is Ricky Lake.
So when are they going to show these people?
Well, okay. Let me tell you. So, each episode, as of this recording, there's been two that have aired. So each episode so far, they were six completely different. So overall, we've met 12 performers in masks. There was a group of six and then another group of six. I don't know if this week will be another group of six. I assume now they're going to whittle it down.
Yeah.
But so there are, out of the six, there were three, one against one. And they each sing. And some are, like, pretty good singers. Some you're like, that's an athlete. They can't sing for shit. But so they sing, the crowd goes wild, and then the crowd and the judges vote on like an app or something. And then whoever has the lowest vote has to reveal themselves at the end of each hour. So far we've had a football player, I don't even know his name, and then
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, yes, thank you. And then Chong from Cheech and Chong. He was in the second episode, yes. Guys, it is so much fun. Now the judges.
Yes, I was just gonna ask you about them. If they say Beyonce one more time or Britney Spears, it's like y'all know that they're not here. Stop saying their names.
Honestly, Foom, I think the producers were like, okay, listen, let's have a real discussion, judges. Thank you for being here. Please, God, mention any A-lister that you can, because we don't want people to actually say out loud that, like, only a certain level of celebrity would do this show. Because they're guessing. They're like, that's Gaga in there. That's Lady Gaga. I'm like, you think Lady Gaga is even available for this shit?
But you guys think Carrie Underwood
is? Her residency and her Oscar-winning performances.
Right? Like,
wait, but you think Carrie Underwood is?
I'm telling you, Mark, did you hear her? And Tom, did you hear her sing?
I'll recognize it from the moment I hear it, so I will listen to her.
Go listen to a clip.
Wow, Foom.
I can tell you right away. I know Carrie Underwood's voice from, I'm a huge fan, so I would know right away.
You should, Tom. I feel like we need to place bets. Like, okay, Tom knows it's Carrie Underwood, so
was it the B? Because people on Twitter, first of all, this is like one of the best shows to follow on Twitter, because people lose their minds over this on Twitter. It's so much fun.
I have to watch it live, because if I like wait a little bit, all of a sudden, just by Googling or Facebook, it's like, Solana's going crazy, and Twitter's going crazy.
It's so much fun.
They're
saying it's Patti
LaBelle.
Oh, no. They're saying it is Gladys Knight or Tina Turner.
I think that's Gladys Knight.
But I don't think
That was my first guess immediately.
Yeah. I would say that she gave me chills when she sang. When she did Sia. I was like, yes!
Oh, totally.
Gladys!
I think, is it the rabbit? I think the rabbit is definitely an NSYNC guy, but I'm not sure which one.
I was trying to figure that out, too. I was thinking it was...
Joey Fatone seems like he'd be a fun guy for that.
Yeah, I think it's Joey Fatone. It could maybe be Chris Kirkpatrick, who like sort of disappeared.
No, don't you think he was a little heavier for Chris?
You know, but Joey's a little heavier, and this guy's kind of trim. And even Jenny McCarthy was like, no, Joey has a gut. So I don't know, but...
Jenny McCarthy's actually kind of good, because she got strong.
Yeah, she is pretty good, actually. The judges, it's funny. I kind of hate them all, but I also kind of think they're perfect. Actually, I don't hate Nicole Scherzinger at all. No, the lion is not fat.
Because
no.
Carrie Underwood is like super pregnant right now.
Well, they would have filmed this when she wasn't showing. She wouldn't have been showing when
they
filmed this.
This is not live, yeah, which I think it should be. I think it totally should be live next season. But yeah, I feel like because of the popularity of Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother this time last year, which I can't wait for season two.
We're going on a tangent, but just pause real quick. The cast of Celebrity Big Brother, what the fuck is that?
It's
amazing.
Oh my
god, I'm going to watch.
I cannot wait. And it's funny that some of the rumors were wrong. There was like Caitlyn Jenner was rumored. There were some other people, but it's like Dina Lohan. It's
Anthony Scaramucci.
It's the guy from Mean Girls, Jonathan Bennett. It's a good... I think Carson Kressley might be in the mix. I forget. It's a great mix, but I'm ready for that. But I feel like that really tapped into a cheesy, fun reality with, like... It's basically this stuff. What we're seeing now is the new Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars has been slowly becoming irrelevant.
Totally.
We got that. Now let's have celebrities really do silly stuff.
Yeah.
It's just fun, mindless winter fun.
That's a good point,
fun,
Mark.
Right?
That's a really good point.
That's what I think it is. But yeah, watch The Masked Singer. It's so much fun. I like Nicole Scherzinger. Jenny McCarthy, is actually pretty good. Ken Jeong is funny, but also so silly and dumb and annoying. And then, you know, I was like, ugh, Robin Thicke. But
he doesn't bother me.
He's playing it very well, where he's not going too crazy. He's keeping it cool. He's chiming in when he needs to. Yeah, he's not really as obnoxious as I thought he would be. But I'm loving it. And I guess we're going to have a good few episodes of it because there's 12 contestants as of right now and two have gone home. So Wednesday night.
I know, right? Woo! It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's totally good.
Add that to your list.
Okay, my turn. The first thing on my list is a show that is going to be on Showtime, I believe, starting next week. But you can check a free preview early. It is called Black Monday.
Nice.
Yes.
It is an ad. I checked it out. Yeah? I actually loved it. So
good.
Black Monday basically is about a show. It's a show about the worst stock market crash in Wall Street history. And it happened on October 19th, 1987. So it takes place in the 80s. And it stars Don Cheadle, who isn't straying that far from his last show on Showtime.
Yeah. What was that? House of Lies?
It was House of Lies, yeah. So he's kind of still kind of doing the same character pretty much from House of Lies. But this one's a little bit more fun. It's a little bit more flashy. He stars Maurice Monroe, who is one of the very few black traders in the 80s.
Oh.
And he has own company with his own traders. And it also stars my girl, Regina Hall, who I love.
Love
She's
her.
So funny in it.
Yes. Good.
Andrew Reynolds is also in it. I'm really...
Does he play a gay guy?
No, he doesn't. He plays a straight guy.
What?
And guess who his wife is.
Andrew.
Guess who his wife plays.
Who?
His wife is Casey Wilson.
Oh,
I love that. I love that
so much.
It's a half hour
to be wife. They're dating in the show, but then they get engaged at the end. Yeah, it's 30 minutes. You guys, it's a lot of fun. It's basically comedy. It is the brainchild of Seth Rogen and his producing partner, Evan Goldberg. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the stuff that they do, but they kind of do like really weird, crazy, wacky type of shows. There's always like drug references. It's very TVMA. It's not for kids at all.
Does Regina Hall play her usual silly, like, is she playing Brenda from Scary Movie, or is she playing somebody a little more layered?
Like, while Don Cheadle is, like, one of the very few black traders in the 80s, she's, like, one of, the, like, two women traders in the 80s. I mean, women traders in the 80s are, like, non-existent. So she has to hold her own. She has to put up with a lot of sexual harassment. Like, it's insane. But she holds her own, and she's funny, but she's also, like, a boss. And she knows what the hell she's doing. So basically the premise of the pilot, which I thought was extremely strong for a pilot, I thought it was a very strong pilot, is you've got Don Cheadle. Like I said, it is takes place, it's the movie or the show starts off a year before the stock market crash. So it is leading up to October 19th, 1987. So it's 1986. Don Cheadle plays Maurice Monroe, who owns this like crazy company. It's like boys club, boys only. It's a lot of, like I said, sexual references and comments. But he wants to buy this stock, which we don't really know why it's so important to him to do so. But he ends up spending $36 million on the stock to purchase from the Lehman Brothers, which he gets. But it turns out that this stock is not exactly what he thought it would be. So from there, we're just kind of like, okay, so what? How do the actions of this day lead up to the stock market crash? Andrew Reynolds plays a recent graduate of Wharton who has come up with this like insane formula that supposedly all the trade, like all of the big companies want, but they don't really explain what the formula is. So that's still something that we have like yet to discover. And he basically gets offered all of these amazing opportunities, runs into Don Cheadle's character, and all of a sudden they all go away. And so that's the first episode, and it's just leads up to like a lot of questions that you have asked. But
what do you mean by go away?
I was saying it that way, so I didn't spoil it for people.
Okay.
They
go away on a trip.
Yeah. So it's a lot of humor. It's a lot of jokes. It's very, very funny. But like I said, I mean, it's also very graphic. Like, there are coke jokes in there, drug jokes, sex jokes, race jokes. Okay. But what that's I loved line. About it was that you guys know we are in a very PC culture. And this show also makes fun of that, but in a really smart way.
Okay. I love that.
It's the 80s, so I love the fashion design on there. Mm. I love the set design. I love seeing New York City in the 80s. What did bother me a little bit, and I actually want to ask you guys, what do you think about shows that take place in a certain timeline, but like a song will be in there and it actually is a song that didn't come out until like 4 or 5 years later? That kind of takes me out of it.
That's lazy to me.
Right?
Well, here's what I think. If it's a movie like Marie Antoinette with Kirsten Dunst that Sofia Coppola did, and it's like got fun like punk 80s music to it, that's like an artistic choice. But I feel like if something is set in like 86 and they play a song that was like released in 91, it's like, well, I mean, that's weird.
Right?
If it was 86 and it was music of today, you know, I think it all depends on how many decades.
I agree with you, but I feel like with this show, they're very much like they want you when you're watching to be in the world of 80s. Mm. So the music that they play was 80s, like they played a DeBarge song, Rhythm of the Night. Dress in the 80s, they talk the 80s, their hair, make all of it. It's very 80s. Yeah. Like Regina Hall comes out and she's in a full-blown 80s poofy dress. Like she's got the big hair, like the side pony, like the whole shebang. But then played a song that didn't get released until the 1990, but it was recorded in 88, but the show takes place in 86. And so I was messing with me. It took me totally out of
Would the most show. People even know that, though?
I feel like there's always going to be someone who, when you're watching a show and it's taking place in a certain timeline, like they're going to notice stuff like that. So kind of like
especially
what you said earlier, Tom, like it's kind of just lazy, right?
Right. Yeah. Especially when people are watching that actually were like adults, working adults in the mid 80s. It's like, wait, that song was not out when I was doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Aside from that, it's an ad. I loved it. I thought it was great. Great, great. And it's 30 minutes. So even with like 10 episodes, you can knock this out in an afternoon if you decided to binge it. It's totally cool.
Nice.
So Black Monday on Showtime premieres the 20th, but like I said, if you have Showtime or the app, you can check it out now. It's out early.
That's awesome.
The next thing on my list is Tell Me a Story. It's on CBS All Access from Kevin Williamson. It's a psychological thriller series that takes place in modern day, and it's all about interweaving fairy tales.
Yes. So it's, I think it's a remake of a Spanish
show.
Yeah,
it is. So it's like the ones that they focused on are Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, and Hansel and Gretel. It's an ensemble cast. This series, basically, you've got casts have their own storylines and they all interweave somehow.
Okay.
I'm going to say.
It's Kevin Williamson.
I know.
We like him.
I do like him. So I'm going to say it's an add it to your list. Mm-hmm. But you'll probably be expecting more than what you're going to get.
Okay.
So essentially,
is it scary?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. This is basically, it's basically like a crime drama series.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not that far into it. I believe there's like 10 episodes. I only caught like the first two. Okay. So it stars James Wolk, who is a restaurateur, and he has a fiance. Something happens to her in the first episode, and it puts them on this path of like vengeance.
Ah.
Okay.
So he's like the Three Little Pigs storyline.
Gotcha.
Then you've got these three brothers or friends who commit a crime, and their actions are a direct their actions directly interact them with James Wolk's storyline. So they're part of the Three Little Pigs storyline too. Then you got in a separate storyline, a brother and sister situation where a brother wants a night of partying with a friend and they go meet up with a random guy. Some shit goes down. The guy ends up dead. The friend leaves, and then the brother has to call his sister, who is played by Diana Ramirez, to help him like get out of the situation. So they're Hansel and Gretel. Okay. I don't know yet how their story interweaves with the other story. Haven't gotten that far. And then the last kind of like scenario is a very young girl played by Danielle Campbell, who, unbeknownst to her teacher, they sleep together at like a night of clubbing.
Oh.
And I guess she's the Little Red Riding Hood story. So she basically begins an affair with her English teacher.
With her wolf?
Yeah, I guess.
And that's the one, that's the storyline that's Kim Cattrall, right?
Cattrall like is the grandmother. Her grandmother. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And
I definitely want to check it out, but I feel like I agree, just based on trailers, I could see you wanting more, and it's not...
I totally was expecting something else.
Oh, this was not,
because I honestly didn't really know what the show was. I went into it kind of blind.
Okay.
So I was expecting way more, especially because it's Kevin Williamson. I feel like he's brought us some really good stuff.
Right, of course.
So yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad, but Kevin Williamson, especially with the fact that he's on CBS All Access, so I feel like he's got more leeway here.
You can, push
he
it.
He can push the boundaries. I was really kind of, like, surprised that he's not really doing that.
Will you finish it, Foom?
It'll take me a long time to finish. I will, but it'll take me a long time. Like, check back with me summer, and we'll see if I'm still, like, working my way
through. Oh, my God, if you're still on episode two.
Yeah, exactly.
So, basically, you're kind of thinking this. I feel like you and Tom's, on the basis of sex, are kind of like the, it's add this to your list, not a huge priority.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to check it out soon. I'll let you know what I think, because it sounds cool, but that is a bummer that it's not scary.
And
but
I
maybe
also
the scares
don't really understand this need to incorporate the fairy tales. I'm who cares, like it's not needed. It's like an added layer that brings nothing to the table.
Got it. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, all right.
Anyway, those were our lists for this week. We had a lot. We chatted about them quite extensively, but we had on the basis of sex, Suspiria
or Or smooth Spiria, if you're Fumi.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Friday the 13th.
Hey, boys.
Surviving R. Kelly, which, like, add it, watch it, like,
yeah,
immediately.
The Masked Singer. Add it, watch it, immediately. So ditto.
Seriously. Like, so much fun. Even if you guys just want mindless entertainment, yeah, to just laugh.
Oh,
like,
yeah, drink and get high to it.
Yeah, right? Totally. Oh, my God, get high to it. God, what a great, right? Black Monday. And Tell Me a Story.
Cool.
Okay.
Good list.
Cool. Good list. So before we go, we kind of wanted to just tell you guys what's on our most anticipated list for this year, 2019. Yeah. We've got film, we've got TV, and we're going to throw in something else. It might be a music, might be a book, might be a play. There's a lot of shit happening in all things entertainment for the year.
Sure is.
So Tom, why don't you do a rundown of your list? Tell us what's on your film, TV, and your other.
Okay. So the film thing was, you know, I have to say, guys, there's not a lot that's really piquing my interest. I spent a lot of time this week going, like, looking on Dark Horizons, looking on Movie Insider to look at the movies that are coming out this year. There are a couple that caught my attention. I'm definitely into Pet Sematary coming out in April. I definitely am into Annabelle 3 coming out in the summer, because mostly because Patrick and Vera are coming back as Elaine Warren, and I forget her fucking husband's name, Ed and Lorraine Warren. But I gotta say, my most anticipated film of the year, believe it or not, is, oh man, and I'm forgetting the name of the movie, but it's essentially... it's the Mr. Rogers biopic where Tom Hanks is playing Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Super excited to see what Tom Hanks does with that. Mm. So that is my most anticipated of the year.
Cool.
Okay. What's your TV?
On the TV front, I am going to go with... I was torn between Pose Season 2,
oh,
The Affair Season 5... Oh. But I'm going to go with Pose Season 2. I absolutely cannot wait for that. Loved it. I loved Season 1.
I know. Right?
I mean, what is I'm doing my job here.
All right. I can totally get down with Pose Season 2. I think it'll be
I really did. It's so crazy. It's one of the only shows, I'd say, where the actors actually don't need to be that good, but it's so...
Oh, ouch.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, some of those actors were not good. But it's one of those few shows that even with some subpar acting, it's so strong. And it gave me such... I just remember feeling so many things watching that. So, I agree, Tom. Season 2, I'm excited for.
And my other selection is the play. So, I absolutely love the movie Moulin Rouge.
Oh.
They are turning Moulin Rouge into a Broadway play this summer.
It was in Boston last summer.
Super excited. Yep, it tested in Boston all last summer long. Mm-hmm. They're bringing it to Broadway. Jeff and I have tickets for opening night in July, so that is definitely
my most anticipated other.
I sure did, yeah.
That's awesome, Tom. Yeah. When is opening? July?
July, yep. So I'm looking at them to not fuck this up. So
yeah.
Producers of Moulin Rouge Broadway... I'm looking to you to not fuck this up.
Well, I have heard mixed things about the you know, version that was in Boston last summer. Some people I know loved it. Some people I know hated it. So, but that's kind of like how people view the movie, too. Some people love the movie.
Sure.
Some people hate it. I just know the music. I think I might have told you, Tom. Apparently, a lot of the music is updated to modern music. So.
Yep.
Do you think that's going to hurt it or help
it? I really don't know. I think it's...
It depends. It depends what the songs are.
I think it's kind of cool. I just wonder if they'll update the music every few years to, you know, so that it doesn't become kind of this weird, like, oh, yeah, that was like 6 years ago music. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right. Mark, what's on your
list? All right. Well, let me get into it. So film, I didn't have one specific film. Instead, if I may... I'm very interested in 2019 for almost a slate of films from a certain company called Disney, because this year is going to be really big for Disney, as
Lion
we know.
King.
And this is the first year, guys, in maybe ever, of their live action remakes, that there isn't just one movie. There are three remakes coming out in 2019, which I think
know,
is
it's
risky.
Kind of like, guys.
Yes, I think it's a little risky. Too. Usually, you know, we had our, you know, Cinderella, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast. It was just one a year, and that was like their big kind of tentpole live action remake. This year we have Dumbo in March, which I actually think looks really great.
Oh,
it looks
so
beautiful, and Tim Burton's doing it. Tim Burton can be kind of hit or miss lately, so I actually really am rooting for it because it looks great and great cast. Then in, I want to say May, is Aladdin, which looks
correct.
Good. I mean, it,
oh, shit, I forgot Aladdin was coming out in 2019.
Directed by Guy Ritchie with Will Smith as the genie, so that's going to be Memorial Day. And then I believe July or August is The Lion King live.
July.
Well, I say live action remake, but it's CGI, just not animated. It's like computer generated, so...
It's going to be amazing, whatever it is. John
Jon Favreau.
Who did it? Mm-hmm. Who's doing it?
He's and he did. He directed The Jungle Book, which was a great remake of that. So, yeah, I feel like between those three movies and then the new Disney Plus streaming service, I feel like Disney is going to be really one to watch this year. I am expecting maybe a stumble here or there somewhere. I don't think they're going to have the most perfect track record this year. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to their remakes, because these are big movies. I mean, Lion King, of course, the original came out 25 years ago. Everyone loves it. This will be interesting to see if they can even change it and change it for the better. Aladdin's a big one. Dumbo, I think, is the safest remake because that movie is just so old. So that's my film side. TV side, I had two things, but I can't remember one of them. So I'm going to just tell you the other. I am actually quite interested in HBO's new, I don't know if it's a series or like a limited series, but they are doing an adaptation of Watchmen, the graphic novel. 10 years ago was that movie version, which I liked. I thought it was pretty good, directed by Zack Snyder. And so HBO is doing, I want to say, maybe like a 10-episode series of it. And I'm curious to see what it'll be like, because HBO hasn't really done comic book stuff, I don't think. So, yeah, I think that'll be interesting. That premieres, I think, in the spring of 2019. So that's on my list. And then my other, like Tom, is theater. And I am so looking forward. I don't have my tickets, but I should buy them soon. I'm really looking forward to Beetlejuice on Broadway. I think...
Oh, I just got the flyer for
it
today.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's funny. Perfect timing. Yeah, I mean, I love the movie. I know we talked about it last year for its 30th anniversary. I grew up watching that. I can quote so much of it. It's the weirdest thing. I think it's perfect for the stage. I have heard from my friend Jason, shout out to Jason, who's not listening to this because he, quote, doesn't do podcasts. yeah, that's shade for you, Jason. Jason said it is very different than the movie. So, you know, we'll see if that works, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great, at least a great new version of it, you know, something different. So yeah, that's what I got.
Okay.
Cool.
Boom.
All right, so mine, since you ran through a few Disney things for film, I don't need to say a bunch.
Oh, sorry, Foom.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, listen, no surprise that on my list is Avengers Endgame.
Totally.
It is the culmination of 10 years. It is this part two of Avengers.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to cry and be sad, but also I'm so excited.
So are they going to, like, kill a lot of people off? Do you think?
Well, they did. Well,
They already did. Oh, my God. I had to catch up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully people come back.
Yeah.
And then the only other one on my list is the other Marvel movie, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, a lot of people
Brie
are excited
Larson,
about that.
Captain
I love
Marvel.
Her. Yep.
And apparently, rumor is, she's going to be the one to come in and save the day for Avengers.
Oh.
Who knows if that's going to happen? But I'm super excited.
Wow. The planning that goes into these movies. I mean, two movies that come out just a couple months from each other, right?
I know.
And it's like, whoa.
But Captain Marvel's takes place in the 90s.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Avengers Endgame will take place in modern day. The genius of it all. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So super excited about those two movies. Mm. TV was hard for me to pick, you guys. I mean, in addition to Killing Eve Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
I Am the Night, which looks
interesting
to me.
Totally.
Ratched, which I mentioned earlier.
Right.
The Politician with Ryan Murphy on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then I forget what we were watching, but like that Fosse.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes.
I was
Vernon,
like, what is this?
Oh yeah, boom. That looks so freaking good. Yes.
But ultimately, I decided that I'm super excited for The Twilight Zone with Jordan.
Ah.
Okay, so
I think that that is going to be super good. Mm.
I am so surprised none of us said Big Little Lies season 2.
I'm not that surprised.
You're not that excited for it?
No, I don't think it's not that I'm not excited. I feel like Big Little Lies was quite close to perfect.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
And
I'm a little nervous.
I'm a little nervous.
Even with Meryl.
Especially because this is not source material. Like,
right.
Big Little Lies came from a book.
Right.
Big Little Lies 2, obviously Big Little Lies ended.
Right.
It's one book. Mm-hmm. So I'm nervous.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm keeping, it's funny you say that, Tom, because that was on my mind, and of course I'm excited for it, but I'm going to try to keep my expectations low so that I enjoy it no matter what, and I don't think too much about it. Yeah. So shut up.
Totally. Yeah. So going back, Twilight Zone, Jordan Peele, I think it's going to be so good. Mm. I think his mind, like, he's the future into me in film and content creation.
Plus, he has his new movie coming out soon as well, so there you go.
Yeah, so I just think it's going to be phenomenal.
And that's going to be on CBS All Access, I think.
CBS All Access. There we go. And I loved the Twilight Zone. Like,
oh, did
it.
You? That's so interesting. Yeah, I need to watch more of it. I feel like I love it, but I shouldn't say
it's
that.
It's really ahead of its time.
Yeah, totally. I hear you. I bet.
Yeah. And then for my other piece, I'm getting deviating from you guys. I'm going with some Muzak.
All right.
And I'm super excited for The Weeknd's latest album. Nice. I don't know when it's coming out. I know it's coming out in 2019, but it's called Chapter 6, and I think it's going to be phenomenal because really all of his music is just bomb.
Totally. Okay. And even those earlier albums are so interesting before he like really blew up. Yeah, that's a good one for sure.
So good. He actually just came out with a song with, who was it?
I don't even know.
Calvin Harris?
Oh, maybe. That kind of sounds like it's ringing
Martin
a bell.
Garrix? What is that? Now this is bothering me. Sorry, guys.
Pause.
It's Lost in the Fire with Gustafonstein.
Oh.
How do you say that artist's name? That
no idea.
I have no idea. Wow.
Anyway,
I'm behind.
Listen to it. Lost in the Fire.
Okay.
It's fucking hot. It's a great song. Mm. Anyway, so that's what we're most anticipated for 2019.
It's a good list.
There's some good stuff coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
We're going to be entertained. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And that be our show.
That be it.
That's a wrap.
That be it. We gave you guys a lot this week.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you take notes, everyone? Because now you have to watch all that stuff.
All of it. All of it. So we just want to thank Jay and Allie for their support with the music that they provide for our show. We also want to thank Greg for his support, mm-hmm. Bria Mock's husband, but also for helping us do our designing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, boo. Thank you, boo.
We also want to just thank you, listeners. Please continue to listen to us on iTunes. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Mm-hmm. Check out our socials. Interact with us on Twitter. Interact with us on IG. Interact with us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep trekking along. It is award season, so what's the award show coming up?
Yeah, next? By the next
The next
episode.
One coming up is SAG Awards, but we're going to be taking a week break. We're going dark for a week, so. Mm-hmm.
We'll be back at the end of the month with an update about SAG Awards, and can I just say one other thing I'm excited for in 2019? Rent Live on Fox.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
So we'll talk about that, too.
All right, so we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
All right,
bye.
Bye.